part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
3:30 of 3 o'clock right here on the Maranatha Drive. You're tuned into Adventist World Radio, SID Media, the best Christian radio station this side of Christ coming. And we're about to get into our conversation, the first conversation for this afternoon. And we are continuing our series that we've been running with Pastor Enrum Kandawire, talking about addressing poverty and social issues. And of course, we want to invite you to share your thoughts, your comments. As always, do talk to us. The number, you heard it, utilize those as we have this discussion. Nomuruti. You know, you have probably wondered why God didn't just give us all of humanity an equal share of the world he created, right? I mean, we have so much shortage of resources now. And perhaps he should have just said, okay, you here's your portion, right? Why are there billionaires in the world where some people are dying of hunger? Let's talk about what the actual point of giving and sharing what we have with as little much is all about. And Pastor is taking us through. Pastor MK, good afternoon to you and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Mr. Viriri, good afternoon to you. I haven't spoken to you in a long time.
It's been a long time. I don't know why you're running away from me. I don't know. I think my producer says, Pastor, can you come? He says, what time? Morning? No. We can't do that. I promise I'll be kind. How have you been?
Well, I've been well. It's lovely to hear your voice.
Same here.
I am glad to hear your voice.
Same here, Pastor. Trust that you've been okay.
I have. I've been well. How are you?
No. The Lord is still keeping us, Mfundisi. The Lord is still with us. Thank you once again.
We praise the Lord.
For agreeing to chat to us, even on such a topic.
Amen.
One of these fiery topics, right? It's not so black and white.
It is.
Sometimes it causes some emotions. But we appreciate you. We're talking social issues and poverty, Mfundisi. The Bible says that God apparently loves a cheerful giver. What does that mean? Does it mean that when you're parting with these gifts, you must be happy and cheerful to do it? What is comprising a cheerful giver for this?
You know, I remember there was a time my uncle needed to buy something and he had to close his eyes to pay for what he was buying. It was his stuff. And it was so expensive, but it was his stuff for his benefit. He had to close his eyes. So what does it mean to be a cheerful giver? Well, a cheerful giver is one who gives with a gracious attitude, giving willingly and even joyously, not grudging or under compulsion. That's in a nutshell, a cheerful giver. We have an example of this kind of giving in the Bible. It's quite a long passage, but I'll cut it short. I'll read fewer verses than the entire story. It is recorded in Luke chapter 19, from verse 1 all the way to verse 9. But let me read verse 5 through to verse 8.
Okay.
This is what the Bible says. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, this is the guest. I mean, this is the host. Zacchaeus is the host.
Yeah.
And he receives his guest joyfully.
Yeah.
Verse 8, the Bible says, but when they saw it, the people, when they saw it, they complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And verse 8, the Bible says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now, this right here is cheerful giving.
Sure.
And the, The idea of this kind of giving flows from a joyous relationship one has with Jesus Christ. And so cheerful giving is really an overflow of the joyous relationship we have with Christ. And so this is the example of cheerful giving. That's who a cheerful giver is. And it actually contrasts with chapter 18, the story of the rich young ruler in chapter 18. Now, this one, the Bible says, was very rich.
Yeah,
even more so than Zacchaeus.
Okay.
But Jesus says to him, you do well in all the law, but you lack one thing. Go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. But the Bible says in chapter 18 and verse 23, but when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich.
Mm.
He could not see himself departing with his riches.
Like
my uncle, he closed his eyes. He could not see his money go. And so this is a contrast between a cheerful giver and one who is not a cheerful giver. Two examples and very clear, black and white.
Okay.
But cheerful giving, like we said earlier, flows from a joyous relationship we have with Jesus Christ.
So the joy is not necessarily in the parting with the gift, but it's about the one with whom we're sharing this giving with.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I was just reminded, because especially when you started mentioning in the beginning, I was reminded of David, 2 Samuel 24:24. I can't offer to the Lord my God a sacrifice that costs me nothing.
Mm.
You know, and I guess that's what your uncle was feeling. You could feel the cost living. And we've got a comment to put this. Hey, this one here. Yeah, I would like to say this is not an. What do they call it? They put a disclaimer when they're doing these financial ads to say this source is not credited as a financial advisor. The comment says, that's the key to financial freedom. Close your eyes and swipe. And then when the bank calls, you must also close your eyes and swipe to cut the call. Block negative energy. I'm like, listeners, please, we put a disclaimer. These are not the views of Adventist World Radio, neither Pastor Mkandawire nor myself. We don't own these ones.
Amen.
and Pastor, maybe as we talk about that, why does God use humans? I mean, surely he says, I think it's in Haggai, that silver and gold are his, right? In Psalms, he adds and says, a cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. Why does he choose human beings to take care of human beings, especially if they are not as well off, right? Why didn't he bless us equally so that each one has whatever they need to take of care of their needs?
Well, this is a beautiful question, really. And it's two in one. And let me separate the questions so that I answer them properly.
Okay.
So to begin with, why does God use human beings to take care of others? Beautiful question.
Mm.
So God has the capacity to take care of each and every one of us. And in the second part of the question, I will emphasize that he has the capacity to take care of every one of us. But he uses human hands to bless other human beings for a very good reason. And so, when we were created, in the image of God, and God gave us dominion over everything on earth. And with that dominion came stewardship. And so we were dominant and we were stewards of the earth. When sin came in, God said, all right, now that you have sinned, you have distorted the image of God in you.
Okay.
And so to restore the image of God in us, God gave work to man. And he says to man, in the sweat of your brow, you shall eat all the days of your life. That is a punishment in a way. But that is God's love, really, because in that, God is trying to restore his image in us. And so by making us stewards over his resources and making us stewards over those who are less fortunate than ourselves. God is doing that to help us restore the image of God in us. And so our stewardship and our dominion, as far as we do it properly to the glory of God, helps us restore a godly character, that nobility of God in us, thus restoring the image of God in us. And so if he had, you know, in the midst of sin, if he had given us all equal wealth,
yeah,
so that none of us lacks,
mm-hmm,
we would not have had a way of participating in the restoration of the image of God in us. And so to call us back to nobility, God has to soften our hearts so that we feel a love and compassion for the poor, so that our giving stems from love and not from duty,
yeah,
for the poor.
Yeah.
And so to help us to exercise that love, God is helping us restore that nobility of character, his image in us. That is why he uses human beings to bless human beings. So
yeah,
we have stories of people who prayed to God for sustenance, for a meal for that particular day, and they received a miracle through human beings. God
mm-hmm.
sent this
mm-hmm.
human being to go and bless this person. And so we pray to God, and God directs that prayer to those whom he has blessed, so that from their overflow, they may then give to those who are in need. That is how God works, so that he restores his image in human beings. And so it is for our good, really, that God uses us.
How do you know it's
those
working,
who are less fortunate.
How do you know it's working? I mean, you were just speaking earlier on about what
mm-hmm.
joyful giving is all about. And you take two examples. You gave the one, Zacchaeus, right? He's a wealthy man.
Mm-hmm.
He's able, in fact, he doesn't even need to look at his accounts to know that I've robbed people.
Mm-hmm.
And then if each and every one of those people I've robbed come back, I can give them fourfold. I will be having enough money to give
mm-hmm.
them fourfold. After
mm-hmm.
I've given half of my wealth to the poor, I mean, that's being wealthy,
poor,
you know. How do you take
exactly.
such a giving, which one could even argue might not cost Zacchaeus anything? That's the kind
mm-hmm.
of giving that when Christ was in the temple, which is my second example,
mm-hmm.
where he said the
mm-hmm.
wealthy were giving out of their abundance, their giving was not as
mm-hmm.
valuable as the widow with the two mites. How do you know which one, like
sure.
right now you're giving? And I always had a conversation with a friend of mine to say, when you take that quotation from the Pen of Inspiration, the author writes, Mfundisi, and says, money in the hands of a Christian is food for the hungry, is
mm-hmm.
clothing for the naked. You know, it's supposed to always be being utilized for good. And so it's almost the idea
mm-hmm.
as though a Christian will never be physically or materially wealthy, that, you know, you now suddenly have big houses.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because your money will always have
mm-hmm.
work. How do you know then to
exactly.
say the cost seems like it's not equal, though, because it seems for some it must cost more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, how do we know what?
Like how will you know that this giving is the one that is sacrificial, even, like they would say, right? The one that costs you something. Because if you've got a billion in your bank account, Mfundisi, and I can give everybody
mm-hmm.
something and I will still feel like, no, it's all right, I will live on my life. Oh, it doesn't matter to me. Yeah, I've got more, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I forgot who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Bill Gates who was being told years back to say, if he gives away
mm-hmm.
half of his money, he cannot
mm-hmm.
spend his money fast enough to deplete
yeah.
his reserves, because they are still making more money as he is spending more money.
Mm.
So
yeah,
you can't say he's going to feel he's giving, that kind of a person.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know that this kind of giving is sacrificial?
Yeah, is the one that Christ in the temple would say, yeah, Mzalwane, now you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the idea of giving, really, as individuals, is not supposed to be public. So Christ admonishes that when you give, your very left hand should not know what your right has given up,
okay,
what your right hand is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of assisting the poor, the less fortunate as individuals is not to be publicized. And so mm-hmm. one who knows that their giving is sacrificial is the individual who has given. So how does this individual know that this kind of giving is sacrificial?
Yeah.
Well, it is from where the pocket where they're drawing their resources.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones who know how much they have and how much they have to give.
True.
And what they need to live on. And so on an individual basis, it is very easy to tell. There are a lot of rich people in the world who have so much money
mm-hmm.
and they have no clue whatsoever how much is left from what they have given.
They're like
so it
Potiphar.
It is not sacrificial, really.
They're like Potiphar.
Exactly.
The only thing they know is that this food, oh, okay, I've got this in my house as well.
Exactly. And so it is not sacrificial, really.
So it's a
but
curse.
But the idea is...
It's a curse, Mfundisi, to have money, that kind of money, because you will never know it's sacrificial.
No, it's not. Well, I have in mind people like Abraham or Job.
Yes.
Job, especially, the Bible says he was the greatest in all of the East.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is not a curse to have a lot of money. It is actually a blessing to have a lot of money, especially if you're using it for the right reason. If you're using it to the glory of God, it's a good thing to have a lot of money. And I would actually encourage Christians to have a lot of money. Work to make
but
a lot of money.
It's a trap, because the moment you have a lot,
every bit of it.
What you're saying, unless if maybe we're using the wrong measurement then, because we're thinking that
mm-hmm.
being sacrificial is when it becomes proper
mm-hmm.
giving. Because the moment you have a lot of money, it will never be sacrificial. You know,
the sacrifice ceases.
Yes. So that's a challenge that we're having to say, how do you then manage to say, I'm still giving proper and worthily in the sight
mm-hmm.
of God when it's no longer a sacrifice because you have so much abundance?
The example you gave about David saying, how can I give something that, you know, I don't feel
yeah.
back to the Lord? I have to feel it. A sacrificial kind of giving.
Yeah.
Now, he's a wealthy man, David.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very wealthy man. But he wants to feel that, you know, he has removed something from what he has.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of helping the poor is not really supposed to be a pain in the flesh for the Christian.
Okay.
It is supposed to be a joyful thing. So that you give from the abundance of what you have. Now, by abundance, I'm not saying you should have a lot so that you give from a lot, so that you don't feel that you have given. Abundance means the abundance of the joy that you have to share.
What's in the heart.
So,
okay.
It is not supposed to be a painful thing. It is supposed to be a joyous thing to give away. When that woman gave away her 2 mites, she gave wholeheartedly, joyfully. And that is what Jesus commended. When these rich people gave to the treasury, they gave from the abundance of their wealth. So they didn't feel anything because they had plenty. But this woman had these only 2 and gave them still joyfully, wholeheartedly. And so she was not like in pain because she gave. She gave her last. But she was a joyous giver. She gave from the abundance of her joy, from the abundance of her relationship with her God. That's how giving is supposed to be. And so when David says, how can I give that which I don't feel, that which is not, you know, a sacrifice, he is simply speaking, okay, for this, what God has done for me,
mm-hmm.
I have to equate it with the kind of a sacrifice from myself. That's what David is saying. Now, in truth, we will never repay God for his goodness.
100%.
Never.
100%.
Even when we ask Bill Gates to show his gratitude to God, he will never be able to repay God for it. And so the idea is really, from what we have, are we able to share with those who are less fortunate?
Okay.
Not because we want to do them good, but because we are doing so because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And from the overflow of that relationship, we give to those who are less fortunate. And so, to, in truth...
No, it's done. No, no, thank
those
you.
Those who... Mm-hmm. It's done, eh?
Yeah, no, you can finish your thought. Yeah, yeah.
All right, thank you. So there was a second part to this question. Let me go to the second part before we tackle the third question.
Okay.
So the second part was, why did God not bless us equally so that we all take care of ourselves? He did, actually. He actually did.
Okay.
Because we all have enough talents according to our abilities. And so the truth is, because we all have talents, God has blessed us with enough resources, enough means for our survival as individuals or as families. Because God has blessed us with enough talents for our survival. Mm. Now, the truth is that some people, sometimes, all that they need is simply to be saved from their sins and their weakness to sin. And once you save them from their weakness to sin, mm-hmm. they will be able to stand on their own and survive financially.
Mm. Okay.
The
okay.
only reason some people are in poverty is because they have given themselves as slaves to sin. But when we save them from that, their own talents would save them and they would not need anything from wealthy people to help them survive. Their own talents would provide for their own means, for their own survival.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
the truth is, God has given us all enough means for our survival. He would be a cruel God to allow us to be born without means for our survival.
I'm reminded.
And so at death, God equips us with enough talents for our survival. And that is why David says he takes care of us. God cares. He takes
Amen.
Care of us.
Amen.
Because he has given us enough to survive. And so, in truth, he has.
But certainly.
The problem is, sin has enslaved the majority of us, and as a result, we don't use our talents, and so we find ourselves in poverty. And because of that, we need those who are fortunate to help us out of our poverty.
Okay. Okay. No, thank you, Mfundisi. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. We appreciate your time as well this afternoon. Let me thank you. And we have to leave it there until tomorrow. May God bless you and stay
all right.
blessed. Thank you, Pastor Mkanda.
Great. I'm sorry we have run out of time. I wanted to answer the third question. Beautiful question, but I think we can make time
touch
for
it tomorrow,
right?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Great.
Thanks, Mfundisi.
Thank
may God
you
bless
so much
you.
For your time.
Thank you.
God bless you too. Thank you. And lovely to hear from you again.
Thanks, Mfundisi. Same here.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.